So what happens when Latinos move to municipalities where they historically have not lived? And we know from research we do on housing and some stuff we have in the pipeline that they're moving to suburbs that many of them are moving to suburbs that historically have not had large Latino populations. What does the move to the suburbs and to municipalities outside of those traditional areas, what is that going to do to elections at the state and local level for state house and local municipal levels? And we know that especially if Trump wins in November, that the actions and the policy movement to help better people's lives is going to be at the state and local level. It's not going to come from the federal government.
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
I think that watching the Latino vote is going to be extremely important. I think really understanding the role that Latino plays, particularly in states like Arizona and Nevada, is going to be extremely important in November. And, I hope that both parties figure out a way to reach and message and listen what this population, which is so important to the economic and social stability of the country, what they have to say and how you can meet the needs that they say they have.
That was Noreen Shigrew of the Latino Policy Forum speaking with KBOO contributor David Rosenberg about the role that Latino voters may play in the upcoming election. You've been listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings.
We're the fifth graders from David Douglas Tag Center. We listen to KBOO, Portland. 90.7 FM.
KBOO radio station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish and support harmony within ourselves and set the stage for praxis.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud media sponsor of the Washington County Chamber of Commerce Juneteenth Celebration on Saturday, June 8th from 12 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at Jerry Wally Plaza at Orenco Station. The celebration will feature music, art, inspiring speakers, and a diverse range of Black-owned business vendors around this year's theme, The Reunion. Again, that's the Washington County Chamber of Commerce on Saturday, June 8th from 12 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at Jerry Wally Plaza at Orenco Station, 943 Northeast Orenco Station Loop in Hillsboro. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning into KBOO Portland.
You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell us an Indian first then?
Hello out there. Hello, Indian country. How you doing? It's your boy and your host, Jack Malmstrom, here with another Rose City Native Radio. We got guests. We got Nick Yellow Horse in the studio, your favorite. We got music and more for you on this lovely day. starting out the show. This is Knocko Bear with Medicine for the People with Vultures of Culture. Enjoy.
Situation in which you're living, and it all starts to make sense. The vultures are culture, and they're picking on all my friends. It all starts to make sense. All indigenous and present men. Well, I said
became my life. To the people who need the light, help them rise above the scam on the land and their lives. And I'm caught and I can knife all the lies by the slide. Independent of this democracy is really worth the fight. My request is reasonable, a sharp, undefeatable, ambitious, deep moving towards solutions that are feasible. It's unbelievable. All the slow moving people, they can care less just as long as they are comfortable. Man, it's unforgivable because the conditions now are critical. Whether or not you're ready, we are now approaching the pinnacle. It's difficult to say exactly what to do, but the change begins with me, and I'll reflect it back to you and you and you and you and use your ability to choose. Come on, man, make the movement move. It all starts to make sense. It all starts to make sense. With all these omens and the moon phase we're in, it all starts to make sense. Well, I dedicate my life to the people who need the light, help them rise above the scam on the land and their lives. And I'm cutting like a knife all the lies by the slice. Independent of this democracy is really worth the fight. My request is reasonable, a tribe undefeatable, ambitious, deep moving towards solutions that are feasible. It's unbelievable. All the slow moving people, naked, careless, just as long as they are comfortable. Man, that's unforgivable because the conditions now are critical. Whether or not you're ready, we are now approaching the pinnacle. It's difficult to say exactly what to do, but the change begins with me, and I reflect it back to you and you and you and you and you and you. And you. Use your ability to choose. It all starts to make sense. It all starts to make sense.
Thank you. time. Who are you? In Holy Bay, when the morning comes. In Holy Bay, at the rising sun. Going to me, who am I? Hold up, babe, when the night comes to fall. And hold up, babe, when the sky comes to cold out. Tickets for my pockets for one ride only. Oh, I bet a night blink. Thank you.
Sheets, you're special. special to me. The way that you think, the way that you see. Everything that you are, I know will go far. Calling me up, baby girl, you're my shining sun. I wanna be your only one. I wanna be your only one.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio. There was a lot of songs going on. So that one was Paupu Fruit by DRVNDXN. And before that, Sing Soul Girl by Inez Jasper. Blink by Denny. Molly by Luke Daniel Peacock. And starting off the show was Medicine for the People with Vultures of Culture. So we have a very special guest in the studio, and so I'm going to turn on both their mics. And joining me, as always, is Nick Yellowhorse. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good, doing good.
Pretty excited.
I know, me too. As I move the squeaky mic over, there we go. So we have a special guest in the studio today, Trudy Jackson from the Navajo Nation. Trudy, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hello. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Hello. Trudy Jackson, Thank you.
And so, Trudy, you are a candidate for the Navajo Nation presidency. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, a little bit about myself is I grew up on the Navajo reservation. I am one of six kids. And I'm the second to the youngest, and I grew up mainly on my mother's side of the family out in Coyote Canyon, New Mexico, and then I am enrolled on my father's side at Tisnaspas. So my upbringing on the res was basically I attended Indian boarding schools. The majority of my education, and then I ended up traveling out to Phoenix, Arizona, where I attended Phoenix Indian School and graduated from there. So with that, so after my high school graduation, I decided to stay in the city because I felt more comfortable. I felt more welcome, and just the opportunities that were available in the city. So so that's what I did. And then after that, I made my first attempt at college in 1989. And because I was new over to the city and it was my first time being off of the Navajo reservation, it was more or less like a culture shock for me. So that basically led to choices that were not well. But in 2004, I made my second attempt at college. And then while doing that, I was juggling full-time employment. So, and then as well, I started getting more involved in some of the needs that were needed in the Phoenix area. I saw the lack of Native representation, especially within spaces that is supposed to be Native community, but I felt like the underrepresented communities, such as the Two-Spirit LGBTQ, were underrepresented. So with that, I got more involved in activism as well as social justice. And with that, I advocated for spaces that I entered for more inclusion of the underrepresented communities. So with that, having to enter those spaces helped me build my leadership skills. While I was doing all that in my work, I was also working with the 22 tribes in the state of Arizona. I was a chair for a statewide Native public health group, which really gave me exposure to working with sovereign tribal nations and how policies impact and what type of partnerships were built with urban entities, whether it would be urban Native organizations or the state or the county. So that was what I did. And then from there, in my work, I saw the lack of inclusion of statistical, data and scholarly articles focusing specifically on underrepresented populations. So that inspired me to make my second attempt at college, and therefore that is the path I am currently on, which has led me to completing my first year of my doctoral program at the University of New Mexico, and I'm looking forward over to learning more and producing scholarship that reflects the underrepresented populations. So with that, one of my observations while being away from the Navajo Nation was really looking at the focus of tribal leadership and looking at what I have learned in my education, specifically around American Indian studies, and therefore I was looking at more, I was interested more of the impact of federal Indian policies, of how policies were developed, and looking at how tribal leadership, some tribes have yet to revisit some of the policies that were developed and produced when they first became recognized as a sovereign tribal nation. So that was something that I observe, and I think the most dire need that I saw was the unethical doings of tribal leaders. And therefore, that was what really inspired me to put my name as a candidate for the Navajo Nation president, and to really bring back everything I've learned in the city and being away from the Navajo Nation as being a leader and having to be a leader to lead with integrity and really look at my community and reflect back of my childhood of some of the struggles I've seen and witnessed. And as I got older, and to come back over to my community and still see the same struggles that are happening. And therefore, that was another motivation that inspired me over to give back over to my people.
And so when you say like underrepresented communities in your in both at the Navajo Nation and just in Native communities in general, both urban and on res, and talking about the Two-Spirit community and things like that, what kind of work have you done with those communities? Have you like been brought that back to the Navajo Nation at all, or other tribal communities that you work with in your advocacy? Have you talked to them about what representation you'd like to see within those communities?
Well, first of all, I think tribes, I will say tribes, are very hesitant to embrace new areas because of the fact is that how things have been set in stone for so long, and therefore nations and leaders are not open to change. And bringing the knowledge and the skills that I have gained in the city, I know for a fact that I will probably encounter resistance at first, but as a leader, if you want to see change, you have to help lead your community to embrace change. And therefore, I think that would be a step over to explore. And some of my areas in the urban setting, working with the Two-Spirit LGBT community, specifically in the Southwest, because I've lived in Phoenix, Arizona for over 34 years, I really got to know the community. And in the Phoenix community, at first, I encountered resistance. But after continuing to occupy spaces where at times I was the only American Indian, and getting my name and my face known in the community helped me to walk into spaces now where I am embraced and respected as a leader. And therefore, that is one trait that I hope to take back over to my community.
So as a candidate for the Navajo Nation presidency, what are your top selling points for those Navajos who may be listening that are out there on why they should support you specifically? And also, I wanted to know, what are your thoughts about potentially reversing the Dine Marriage Act and how that applies and everything?
Well, my four areas that I am looking to address. First is education. I really believe that pursuing an education is crucial nowadays, because things are changing, and therefore, in order for the Navajo Nation to come up to speed with the Western society, my philosophy really is looking at bringing home individuals that are educated. I really believe, as a young child, that education is crucial throughout your lifetime. And with that, as a college student my own self, one area that I would like to address pertaining to education is really looking at revisiting the tribal scholarship. That is because of the fact is that the cost of higher education is getting so expensive. And we're really looking at tribal members that want to go on to college and to have the tribe support them, so therefore they don't leave college with outrageous student loan debt, and then come back to the Navajo Nation looking for a job, and then therefore they are unable to find a job, and therefore that would cause them to default over on their student loan. So that is one area I would like to look at is the possibility of increasing that. And then also another area that I'm looking at is the transparency. As a leader, and it is the people who vote in a leader into office. And therefore, I honestly believe that a leader should be open and honest with their people, and to abide by the rules and policy as a leader that would lead with integrity, and to also be accountable over of the actions and decisions that they would make on behalf of the Navajo Nation. Thirdly, the area that I'm looking at is resiliency. Our ancestors have encountered and endured many hardship, but they were very strong and very resilient to come back. And I believe that as a nation that we have that potential to help the entire community, but also really looking at, we tend to forget the individuals that live off of the reservation, and to not forget is that these are our own people. Even though they may not live on the reservation, but they still identify as one of our own. So those are just some of the components I am looking at, and then also looking at revisiting the 2005 Dené Marriage Act. While America embraces marriage equality, very few tribal nations have embraced that. And one of my areas that I would like to address and to revisit is if we are talking about community, we have to really look at that word. What are we saying about community? And therefore, if we are really seriously addressing community, we need to embrace everyone and not stigmatize individuals or communities. And therefore, revisiting the Dené Marriage Act would be a step in that direction for inclusion as well as diversity, but also really look at how has colonization impacted us. Before, our ancestors never judged anyone of who they loved. And I believe that as a nation, that we need to honor and respect what our ancestors have been taught, and that with our current generations to revisit that and to look at policy changes, as well as looking to educate and inform individuals that may not be open-minded and open to change.
So what was the reaction when you announced you were throwing your hat into the ring for the presidency? What was the reaction from your community when you announced that?
Well, because I've lived in an urban setting for so long, I felt more comfortable announcing my candidacy at the Two-Spirit gathering of elders event out in Albuquerque. And I am very thankful to have individuals that see me for my leadership qualities, and that I don't want things to focus just because of who I am over on my gender, because that's not what is the core issue. The core issues are, what am I going to do as a candidate for the Navajo nation? And therefore, that is what I hope to address. My candidacy announcement was very well received, and I got outpouring support from all over the country, as well as individuals that I have known in the urban areas. And while my name may not be well known on the Navajo Nation is in the month of July, I am setting up various places over to visit on the Navajo Nation. So, like for example, on July 17th, I will be out in Sanders, Arizona. And then on July 28th, I'll be in Shiprock, New Mexico. And then I have received an invitation to be out in Tuba City, Arizona. And then looking at visiting Chinle, Arizona, and Pueblo Pintado. And lastly, I plan to visit my own chapter community of Tisosmos, Arizona. So those are some of the upcoming events.
I do want to ask, what has been one of the, in your mind, one of the major struggles that you've had to overcome because of you announcing yourself as a candidate for this presidency?
I think one area I would most likely say is of getting my name out in the community. Even though I'm well known in the urban setting, but I want to get my name known out within my own tribal community and to really connect with individuals that live in the community and to reconnect and to be able to converse with the elders in my own facade. So that is one area that I hope to overcome. But with the upcoming four Navajo Nation presidential forums that are left before the primary is making those appearances, meeting the voters, shaking hands, and getting my face known out there.
I did want to ask you, for those who are listening that may happen to be Navajo as well, what's the best way they could show their support to you after hearing you on our program today?
Please visit my campaign page. It's at www.trudie, it's T-R-U-D-I-E, jackson.com. And there is an email on there. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me. and I have been receiving some very interesting questions, which also makes me realize some of the issues different communities are encountering. And your questions are very valuable, so don't hesitate over to contact me. And then also, I have a page over on social media as well.
Well, Trudy, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. It was really great having you here. And just so happy to run into you at Pride, too. Just like, oh, wow, you're in Portland. It worked out really nicely, I think. But thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
And again, you can go to www.trudie.jackson.com and check out her page there, as well as her page on social media if you just look up Trudy Jackson.
Yes.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. So coming up next here, this is Frozen Whitefish with Mani Alaska Me here on Rose City Native Radio.
But we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing daughters. Say it again, no clean water. But we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here, we still here. The father in sight, women warrior fight. I wanna break the cycle in the circle, non-verbal, nocturnal, no dress rehearsal. A head by a century, awaken the spirit, be fearless and clear it, no limit. I spit it, I risk it, I hit it, it's written, never bitten, archived for my descendants. It's important to make a presence, representations at all levels. We are all rebels sent from the heavens at 11:11. So meet me at 7:11 to dismantle depression, to gather, to master.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You can find more information about our show and our guests if you go to facebook.com/Rose City Native Radio. You can also reach us with your music, local events, and more at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always,